Thank the Lord for Brother Chucky standing in last week. Did a great job. Thank God for folks that can stand in for you. Amen. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 3. When you get there, let's stand. We're going to read the first four verses. And that's where we'll be taking our message from tonight. And hopefully next week we'll probably try to finish this chapter out. You know, I've read the Song of Solomon many times before, but until you start to study it, to preach it, you don't realize how much is actually in it.
Amen.
If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
By night, on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will arise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broadways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom, I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. God, we love you, and we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another day, for your blessings. Thank you for the reading of your word, God, for the songs that's been sang tonight, God. And help us, Lord, as we try to expound on this scripture just a little while. God, you give us what we need, Lord, and help us, dear God, to be attentive. Help us, dear Lord, to just take this personally, each and every one of us, God. Lord, this message for each and every person in this building, each and every person that might be listening, God, this is straight from you to them and to me, God. It's to me. Help us right now, God, and we'll praise you for all you do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I guess if I was going to title this, I'd title this The Dream of the Bride. In this passage of Scripture, we know that the bride is having a dream because they are not married yet, okay? They are not married yet, so the bride is having a dream, and she recounts a dream of searching for her beloved. Though it was a dream, we can take and use this to correspond how we can take and apply this spiritually to our hearts and our minds, amen? You got to understand something. It's like a child. I was studying this, almost like a child that wakes up in the middle of the night. And I've done this, and my wife's done this, and anybody that's got kids have done this. That child wakes up in the middle of the night, and they cry for their mother because they don't feel their mother around. Then all of a sudden, they hear this voice. I'm still here. And it calms them. Let's just be honest, okay? There have been times in every last one of us, life and spiritual life, that you couldn't feel him. Amen. Amen? You not that you were doing anything wrong, not that you were out of God's will. There's just times in our life, let's be honest, there's times in our life that we don't feel saved. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We don't feel safe. There's times in our life when we really don't feel like the Lord is near. We really don't. And like I said, it's not that we've messed up, not that we've done anything. There's just valleys and hills, amen. And every last one of us is going to go through it.
Amen.
So just because you can't feel Jesus don't mean he ain't near. Amen. I thought about a story I read one time about a man, and I often wondered, my dad, I remember one time I was probably 10 years old, Brother Robert. Me and Mom and Daddy and Tommy and Terry and I don't even think Warren was born yet, but we all went camping. And we had to go down this road, and Daddy set up a tent and built a big fire, you know. We're probably about a quarter of a mile back off the main highway into the woods. And Daddy said, boys, I'll give y'all a dollar if y'all walk back to that road. You lost your mind. No. But he talked all three of us into trying to do it. He gave us a flashlight. So we struck out. And I've often wondered, I've thought about that over the years. As us three boys with that flashlight in the dark, I wonder how far my daddy was behind me. I didn't realize it. I've done that to Blake before when Blake was growing up. I've sent Blake to do something, and I'd walk out in the yard, watch, make sure everything was all right. See, sometimes you don't know he's there, but he's there. When he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's exactly what he meant. Amen. So let's get into the message. The relentlessness of the bride. Chapter 3, verse 1 says this, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Her body was at rest, but her heart was not at rest. She was in her dream. Y'all know how it is. Sometimes when you dream, it feels so real. In her dream, in her body was sleeping, but her mind was not. Her mind was in turmoil. And I'm going to be honest with you. Every last one of us has been there spiritually in our life where it seemed like the body could rest, but the mind couldn't rest. I don't know how all ladies are, but I know how my lady is. Amen. Sometimes she says she lays down at night and her mind don't shut down. She gets mad at me because I lay down at night and I'm going to sleep. I guess there ain't a whole lot up there. Amen. But she'll tell me how her mind won't shut down. Sometimes, you know, and spiritually it's real easy. Oh, spiritually sometimes the body can be at rest, but mentally, I mean, the devil fights us and you got all these things going on. But the Bible tells us here that she was asleep. She missed the sweet communion that she once had with her beloved. Amen. And I'm just going to understand this, folks. When we get to that point in our life, when we don't have that communion, where we don't feel, where we don't feel like he's there with us, you ought to be in turmoil. Amen? When you get to that point where you don't feel like he's there, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 9 says this, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. I thought about it as I was studying this today. It's almost like, you know, when you're talking on the phone with somebody, I'm gonna use my wife a lot tonight. One night her and her mom had went down to Charleston when my niece was in the hospital, and she was coming back, and she got off to, she didn't listen to what I said, and she listened to the GPS, and the GPS got her out in the middle of nowhere. She was on the phone with me. She was worried, and the phone kept going in and out. It's a whole lot easier when you're on the phone and you got that voice on the other end. But every once in a while, as a Christian, it feels like we're on the phone and the phone's going in and out. Amen. And every once in a while, if we ain't careful, you know, the storm will come and it feels like you've lost that signal. But ain't it good when you get back, amen, and you see them bars go back over there and you get that other voice on the other end of the line. I won't never forget that night. She had called me. She said, praise the Lord, I have found my way out. I know where I'm at. Glory to God. The relentlessness of the bride. She said, I sought him. When you get to that point spiritually that you don't feel like you feel him and you don't feel like you're as close as you once was, it's your job. Amen. To seek. It's your job to find him. You got to understand something. Now, I want you to think about the resolve of the bride. Verse 2 said, I will rise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. Real love will not rest when separated from the one they love. Amen. Real love will not stop until when they're separated from the one they love. My wife used to clean condos back when the kids were smaller. Her and her sister would go down to the beach on Saturday and clean condos. And I knew about what time that she was going to get home that afternoon. And when she didn't get home that afternoon, I kind of got a little worried. If it went 30 minutes, I was on the phone trying to find her. If it went over that, I was getting ready to get in my car and go find her. When you're separated from the one you love, I'm telling you, it ought to upset you. Amen. She refused to be content with the absence of her beloved. She did something. She didn't just sit around. Dr. J.B. Gambrill Tells a story, amusing story from Stonewall Jackson's famous campaign. Jackson's army found itself on one side of the river when it needed to be on the other side of the river. This is back in the Civil War. And telling his engineers to plan and build a bridge so the army could cross, he told all the engineers to get ready, build this bridge so the army could cross. He called for one of his wagon masters to tell him it was an urgent need that they needed to cross the river as soon as possible. The wagon master starts going out there and cutting down trees and getting fence posts and getting all kind of things that he could try to build that bridge. Next thing that General Jackson realized, his army was on the other side of the river. That wagon master had built a bridge that night. Amen. He went to the wagon master. He said, "Where's all the engineers?" He said, "They're still back there trying to draw it up." See, that's how most Christians want to operate. Y'all know, y'all have all heard the joke about how church, you know, we'll committee something to death in church. We got to have a committee to do this, and you got to have a committee to do that. You got to have a committee to do that. Hey, instead of having all these committees, why don't we just get something done? See, that's how we are to operate spiritually. Let me tell you something. When I come to God's house and I don't feel like I'm as close to the Lord as I once was, when I get on my knees and I don't get in my mind, well, I wonder what Skip's done to make me this far away from the Lord. Me not feeling the Lord, it's got to be something that Brother Ralph did on that steel guitar Sunday. Well, me not feeling as close to the Lord as I did. It's got to be. Preacher Tim just didn't preach good Sunday. So that's why I'm not feeling as close to the Lord. No, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. Amen. Don't try to blame everybody else because you ain't feeling close to the Lord. Amen. The Shulamite girl, she didn't try to blame everybody else. She went out and she sought for the Lord. The prodigal son came to himself. Amen. They did something to try to get back to where they needed to be. That's where we need to be. When we get to that point when we don't feel like we're where we need to be, you're the only one that can draw closer. You're the only one that can draw closer. Now let's look at the relentless search she did. In verse 2, "I will arise now and go about the city and the streets, and in the broadways will I seek him whom my soul loveth." I sought him. You do understand that back in this day, it wasn't good for a young girl to be running around the streets of Jerusalem. It wasn't a good thing for a young lady to be out that time of the night running around looking for somebody. But the Bible says that she sought for him. She searched everywhere. When we feel like we're separated from where we need to be, we need to start searching. You need to start searching by prayer. You need to start searching by scripture. You need to start searching by worship. You come into God's house and I just don't feel as close as I used to feel. Well, I think I'm just going to praise him anyhow. I'm going to praise him till he shows up. The Bible says if we'll lift him up, amen, he'll draw nigh to us. The Bible says when we lift up our praise to him, he comes and sits down beside us, amen. You got to understand, if you want to feel him, you praise him. She did what she needed to do. I'm going to hear something. I know I'm preaching to the choir on Wednesday night now. When you get to feeling like this, that's not the time to lay out of church. Well, I just don't feel good. I think I'll just stay home today. Well, what happens when you stay home today? Guess what? Next time, it'll be a whole lot easier to stay home. She did what she could. She searched everywhere. She showed her devotion by her actions. I was talking to... I knew this was going to come out in a sermon. I told him today. We went up to see Bryson today, and we got to talking about, I forget how we got to talking about it. We're talking about somebody talking the fire out of somebody or something like that. And Bryson said, "Just get Preacher Tim to read the Bible all the way through. Something's eventually going to happen." Glory to God. Yeah, I like that. Amen. He said, "Just get Preacher Tim to read the Bible all the way through. Something's eventually going to happen." How many of y'all realize it only takes 12 minutes a day to read your Bible through in a year? 12 minutes a day to read your... What in the world? Don't get all crazy now and read it 30 minutes a day. Oh, my Lord, you read it twice that year. Oh, you done gone radical now, 30 minutes a day. That ain't a whole lot to ask, is it? If God only wrote one book, you ought to read it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. Y'all can get mad at me if you want to. Nicholas Sparks comes out with a book. I mean, they'll read that thing in 3 days. Some people sit down and read them books like that. They'll sit down and they won't put it down until they're through with it. Amen. And not only that, when they get through with that book, they'll read it again. And then when the movie comes out, they'll go watch the movie. And we can't even read the Bible. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you something, folks. The Bible's the most exciting book that's ever been written. Amen. But she did what she could. Amen. I read this kind of a funny illustration. I remember when this happened. Several years ago, Larry Walders, a 33-year-old man who decided he wanted to see his neighborhood from a new perspective, he went down to the local Army surplus store one morning, brought 45 used weather balloons. That afternoon, he strapped himself to a lawn chair. Y'all remember this? To which several of his friends had tied and filled them full of helium. He took a six-pack of cooler. He took some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and a BB gun. And what he was going to do when he got up high enough, he was going to fire that BB gun at them balloons and lower himself down. Yeah. When he got up to about 11,000 feet, and he started interfering with Los Angeles airport's air traffic, they started calling people then. Well, he finally made it down too. He was too scared to shoot the balloons, but he finally made it down. And when he got down, the reporters asked him three questions. Were you scared? He said, yes. Would you do it again? He said, no. He said, why? They said, why did you do it? He said, because you just can't sit there. Why did she get off of her bed in the middle of the night and go searching for her beloved? Because you just can't sit there. Why in the world? Laziness kills more Christians than anything else in the world. Amen. I mean, we don't want to get up and go to church on Wednesday. Some of y'all listening on Facebook, yeah, I'm talking to y'all. So we don't want to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Everything else takes precedence over church. Everything else is more important than church until you get cancer in your family and until one of your kids is on dope and then you got everything going on. Hey, everything else is more important until something like that happens. You just can't sit there. When you feel like you're getting away from where you need to be with God and you're not as close as you need to be with God, that's the time right then to start doing something about it, not 6 months down the road. She did what she could. Now, I wish I could just tell you this was a rosy sermon and everything was going to be great. Look at verse 2, or chapter, yeah. I will rise now. Go about the city and streets, and in the broadways while I was seeking whom my soul loveth, I sought him, but I found him not. The reality of disappointment. Delays sometime in finding Jesus will test your devotion. There have been times in my Christian walk, I'm just going to be honest with you, been times in my Christian walk, Brother Charlie, that I didn't feel as close as I needed to be. And Dale, I'd love to be able to say that one time I got down on my knees, everything was rosy, the heavens opened up, and I heard the choir singing. No, sometimes it took me several weeks to finally get not that he had left, he didn't leave me, to get myself where I needed to be. And sometimes these delays will test our devotion. Sometimes God a delay you finding him so you'll desire him more. Now I'm preaching Song of Solomon. Amen. I done told y'all this was one of them books in Jerusalem that's kind of, you know. There have been times that I've had to be away from my wife. And the longer I'm away from my wife, the more I desire my wife. The longer I'm away from my wife, the more I want to see my wife. The longer I'm away from my wife, the more I want to grab a hold of my wife. It ought to be that way with you and the Lord. Amen? It ought to be that way with you and the Lord. You ever notice that the teacher's always silent when they're giving a test? That might be why you ain't feeling him. Now let's look at the revelation from other people. Look at verse 3. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye whom my soul loveth? The watchman here represents pastors and preachers and teachers and Christian mentors and Christian friends that you can confide in. You need to be able to seek help when you need it. I can't tell you how many people in this church, and I got people that still call me from Orangeburg. I got people that still call me from Conway. And I'm not saying this because of me, but I got people that have confidence in me. And they'll call me and say, "Preacher, I just ain't feeling what I used to feel." And I got a good friend of mine down in Conway, and he'll call me, several times a year. I need help with this. Let me tell you something. If you got good somebody you can talk to, it might not be nobody else but a Christian brother or sister. It might be your husband or your wife, but I'm telling you, when you need help, seek help. She couldn't find her love, and she went out. She knew there was watchmen out there. She knew there was people in that city that was watching over that city. She went out and said, "Hey, have y'all seen him? I'm trying to find my love. I'm trying to find my love." I read this today. The trouble with good advice is that it usually interferes with your plans. Hello. I'm going to say that one more time. The trouble with good advice is that it usually interferes with your plans. I told you, I told this story. I don't know how many times I've told this story. I'll never forget it. If the Lord lets me keep my mind, before I had remodeled our home, we had our carport there, and I had a brick pair of steps there going out into the carport. Somebody called me on the phone. I don't know who it was. Don't remember. They said, "Preacher, I got a question." I said, "Okay. What's your opinion on social drinking?" I said, "Well, the Bible says." He said, "Hold on, I know what the Bible says, but I don't know what your opinion is." I said, "Well, the Bible says." He said, "I know what the Bible says, but what's your opinion?" I said, "Hold on a minute. My opinion is what the Bible says." See, don't call somebody when you're down in the dumps and you're having a hard time. Don't call somebody and want them to tell you what you want to hear. Call somebody that's going to tell you the truth. Call somebody that's going to straighten you out. Call somebody that's going to get you on the right path. Amen? That's what good advice does. The revelation from other people. God will use others if you'll let him. God will use others if you'll let him. But you got to let him. Amen? Let's look at the reunion. Verse 4. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. Her persistence paid off. Ain't it amazing? I thought about it as I was studying this. Ain't it amazing that after she sought advice, she found him? Hello. After she sought godly advice, she found him. Right the very next verse. Amen. I read a story some time ago. It said this young man went to this older lady in church and said, "I'm just tired. I'm ready to give up. I'm tired of fighting this battle. I'm ready to just give up. It seems like everything I do is wrong. I just don't know what I can do." And the old lady looked at him and said, "Well, have you ever thought about in the story where the disciples had fished all night and caught nothing, and Jesus come up the next morning and said, 'Throw your net on the right side'?" He said, "What about it?" She said, "Well, they were fishing in the same place. But when Jesus showed up, they caught fish." Amen? I thought about it as I was studying this, Larry. I wonder just in my mind, I wonder, and I know this was a dream, so I wonder in my mind, is if when she was looking for her beloved, if he was watching her the whole time. The Bible says Her persistence paid off. She found her beloved. Amen? See, let me tell you something, folks. You can't quit. I got a friend of mine. Larry knows who I'm talking about. I've called his name out multiple times. Preacher friend. For 2 years, he's been battling. Got a text this week from him. He said, I'm working today. I said, glory to God. Will God forgive you after 2 years? Yes, he will. The problem is you can't quit. Do y'all realize it wasn't the light bulb? I'm trying to figure out what it was. It was one of the Thomas Edison's inventions. I think it was the battery. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was the battery. He tried 10,000 experiments before he got it right. I'm glad he wasn't Free Will Baptist. We wouldn't even have a battery today. Amen. Don't quit. Well, I don't feel the Lord. I prayed last night. Well, pray tonight. I don't feel the Lord. I prayed last week. Well, keep on praying. Her persistence paid off. She found the one she loves. Now, I want you to notice. Look at verse 4. I'm going to come to a close. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. The resolve to never let go. That's what you got to do, folks. I'm holding on, glory to God. I might not feel saved all the time, but I'm holding on. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen that movie, The Guardian, with Kevin Costner. At the end of it, they're locked on to hands. I'm telling you right now, I know if I'll just keep my hand up there, Jesus is strong enough to hold on to me, amen. I'm just telling you right now, I'm not turning around. I'm not turning back. I'm not turning loose. I'm going to hold on to him. I'm going to tell y'all this right here. I'm holding on to my wife. Had a friend of mine in Conway. He said, I told my wife one time, he said, if you ever pack your bag, you pack mine too. He said, because if you leave, I'm leaving. He said, I'd gnaw the tires off the car before I let you go. Ain't it crazy? We'll fight. We'll fight for friendships more than we will our family. We'll fight for friendships and we'll fight for other stupid stuff more than we will church. The resolve to never let go. Genesis chapter 32, one of my favorite scriptures. Jacob is fighting with the angel. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I ain't turning loose. I ain't turning loose. What's the devil been fighting you over? See, in this passage of Scripture, it was a dream. But in Skip's life, it's real. This passage of Scripture is a dream, but in Johnny's life, it's real. What's the devil been fighting you over? Well, Ralph, come back and just play something. I feel like...